That's a dope angle. Keep fucking going.
It's something to try. Cause fuck 50 Cent, I'd rather a buck 65. And if you haven't heard of us, then just ask your friends. Cause we're the reason people wanna listen to rap again.
Hello Earth, I'm Duke Buzzy. This is episode 58 of Between Bars and Roundtable Radio. You're here for the best independent Canadian hip-hop music, and we are still on it. My illustrious guest this week is Ill Vibe. If you were listening last fall, you already know he's an ambitious dude. He dropped by the living room recently to talk about how far things have gone since then. We'll hear that conversation in a minute. But first, remember a few months back when Kincaid was here and he told us an album was coming out? If you ain't heard yet, it did. Audio Crack is out and rampaging now for a gritty album that lacks only compromise, except no substitute. Here's Better Off Dead.
Yes, I could have had it easy. Had I not chosen the dark side, flipping prescriptions on the block, watching the narcs hide. Guess I was given every chance, guess I just didn't try. They did the best to kill me twice, hope I was gonna die. Retributions fast, 16 blasts without a pause. The bikers and the mobsters loco, that's my Santa Claus. Filled up my pockets with the filthiest cash. Never touched my own supply, cause that's the guiltiest crash.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm better off dead. Staring at the ceiling, sweating 45 to my head again. I wipe away the tears, tell mama so long. I pull the trigger, but the jams think I'ma hold on. Sometimes I wonder if I'm better off dead. Staring at the ceiling, sweating 45 to my head again. I wipe away the tears, tell mama so long. I pull the trigger, but the jams think I'ma hold on.
Educated by the greatest, imitated by the worst. Possessions got you high, sometimes loyalty's a curse. Stuck out my neck to rap, money made by any means. Inflicted so many victims, can't stop these evil dreams. These lines are blurred to me from fiction and reality. Hand on my weapon, no remorse, strictly brutality. Selected at 17, connected for life. Protected by the murderers, fucking the boss's wife. Definitely a dollar sign of some upon the others. Surveillance on my foes, wholesale prices for my brothers. Drunk on rum, dirty gun in my Armani slacks. Midland and Eglinton, four killers in a Cadillac.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm better off dead. Staring at the ceiling, sweating 45 to my head again. I wipe away the tears, tell mama so long. I pull the trigger, but the jams think I'ma hold on. Sometimes I wonder if I'm better off dead. Staring at the ceiling, sweating 45 to my head again. I wipe away the tears, tell mama so long. I pull the trigger, but the jams think I'ma hold on.
Man that tests my squad leaves with their heads high. They came to kill the city, fools left with the dead guy. I'm problematic, impulsive as a motherfucking addict. Despite the runs through these veins, it's mostly post-traumatic. Couldn't step in my shoes, so they attack me. Got soldiers round the city, boy, go ask them why they back me. I got their heads bobbing, making the junkies fiend. Tighter than opiate jacks, I'm spitting gasoline.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm better off dead. Staring at the ceiling, sweating 45 to my head again. I wipe away the tears, tell mama so long. I pull the trigger, but the jams think I'ma hold on. Sometimes I wonder if I'm better off dead. Staring at the ceiling, sweating 45 to my head again. I wipe away the tears, tell mama so long. I pull the trigger, but the jams think I'ma hold on.
Drop an old school beat.
And now, it's time for our feature presentation.
The one and only
Ill Vibe.
For 10 years, he lived the double life of hip-hop and a 9-to-5. Last spring, he quit the job and went all out as a videographer, promoter, and of course, MC. In his own words and tracks, this is the return of Ill Vibe.
Yeah.
Can't let me down, can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around.
Nobody ever gonna let me down. Can't let me down. I love my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down.
See, I ain't getting burned again through. None better than the man that I'm turning into. If y'all don't mind, I put a word in it too. Been ripped from the heart like a murderer do. And y'all ain't even ever really heard it's true. But if it isn't, I'd be purple and blue. And maybe I will never see the earth from the view. In space, no stress, I made it further than a few. Feeling so high, I feel like the lead. And I can't see if it's lightning speed. But I got a bump, ignite the breed in me. Slow like it likes to eat. And life's a beach, got an ice of tea. Got a dime to agree. Be the wife for me. Been through it, I done trekked the ground. That's why nobody can let me down. Can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down. Can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down.
Ask you why, God, why do I breathe? I keep my aces up inside of my sleeve. Been out myself in spite of my needs. Asking why, please, you wiser than me. Fill my lungs up with cancerous smoke. Searching for the truth, what the answers is though. Staying from a joke, trying to stay up late. Everybody eat the icing off my cupcake. Break my back, make someone else's butt. Commanding news, always bad luck. Struggling, trying to live a normalish life. My wallet stripped by a horrible wife. Asking why again? Why do I inspire, man? Hanging on the line, choking on designer friends. I'm tired, friend. Why do I do this? This never let me down, that's why I choose
this. Let me down, can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down. Can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down.
Learned a long time ago, that it's a cold world on my own. Nobody is a rock when I rock a roll. On my solo style like I got some gold. I'm singing from a soul when I rock the globe. Feeling getting low, been dropped before. So I know better, lock the zone in. Stand strong in the octagon. Like throw punches that I drop a gone. Man leaving sleeping when the doctor gone. Death got my number but I lost the phone. I'm a wild thing, watch the tone. On the low, here we go, I give my whole eye. Been in the hole, I deliver the show. Been through it, I done tracked the ground. Why nobody can't let me down? Can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down. Can't let me down. I learned my lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down. Can't let me down. My lesson and I've been around. Nobody ever gonna let me down. Can't let me down. Can't let me down.
If you're just joining us, Ill Vibe is back in my living room.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so a little over a year ago, I asked you where you see yourself in 5 years, and I believe your exact words were at the center of a media empire. So it's a little over a year later. How close do you think you've come to that?
Well, it's certainly not an empire.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like, slowly but surely, all these little puzzle pieces that I've been developing in the background are making themselves known. You know, Survival of the Illest now has a bit of a life of its own and people are aware of it and it's starting to grow as its own business. And some of the other things that I do similarly, it's just a matter of all of these pieces growing at their own rate. So my music is doing well, you know, Survival of the Illest is doing really well, but then some of the other things, you know, are still sitting in the background. Things like the award show, which is a really important project that I'm starting. You know, things like I want to get back on the radio, and that's a project that I'm working on with DJ Greedo in the background. And so once all those pieces are kind of clicking at the same time, I think maybe I'll feel a little bit closer to the center of that empire, but
yeah.
For now it's still just the pieces. But I'm enjoying the mission.
So talk about the pieces a little bit. Like you've been directing videos. Like since the last time you were here, you've gone full time.
Yep.
With videos.
8 months ago, I quit my job and I do video now full time. You know, video events and running these other businesses as well. But certainly in terms of, you know, if we're talking really plainly like revenue, yeah, it's all video right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I shoot full time, bro. I think I shot 120 videos since I quit my job in April.
Yeah.
Everybody from Famous to Dio, Art of Fresh, the new video for Daniel's new solo album, talking to Decisive. I'm shooting with Philly Moves next week. Like all of my favorite Canadian rappers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like literally I shoot all my favorite rappers. So it's the best thing ever right now.
Yeah. And so that's 120 music videos.
Yeah.
And you got other projects.
Yeah, I mean even in video world, like I shot corporate videos for, you know, Hershey's and Kellogg's, and I do that side of things to pay the bills as well. Yeah. I mean, and on top of that, I wrote and recorded Proof of Life, which is my 10th studio album, and is as I keep telling people, it's the album. You know, this is the one. Everything else is me learning and becoming, you know, an artist. This is the one where I flexed my muscle and went all in. And I think we have some hit songs on there for the first time in my life. I think we have my best lyrical songs on there. We've got the best features. We've got Fat Lip from The Far Side on the album. We've got Too Rude and I collabed on a track. Me and Danio go on a track for the first time ever. Me and Decisive reunite on a track again. Really epic songs, you know, on this album. So I'm really excited to see. I'm waiting for the mixes right now, to be honest. I'm just hearing the first mixes back from the studio, and I'm so excited.
Yeah.
The song I'm probably most excited about is A Long Time Coming with Shaw Prince and this vocalist, Vanessa Elisa, I've been working with. And it's amazing. Everyone I played the song for, it's like, well, that's your best song ever. And it's so good to hear that after 15 years that people are so plainly like, this is your best music you've ever made. So
yeah.
I'm excited, man, yeah.
Another piece of the thing I've noticed over the last year, you've got this thing, the promo tracks.
Yeah, it's a new thing for sure.
Yeah, like where I never see it coming. I'm learning to see it now, but you'll have like a hashtag. Seems to come out of nowhere, right?
I love the summary of me. That's amazing.
The hashtag seems to come out of nowhere, followed by a track that's connected to this hashtag, and then there's like an event or some sort of like promotion.
And most importantly, and this is a piece I would say is all of it has. Cool artwork, either designed by Justin Main, my partner, of course, photified.ca. If you don't know him, check him out. Best photographer in the country. So he'll do something custom for it, or more recently, because he's taught me a few tricks, I'll do something for it, because he's busy, he can't always do it. But it's been really cool. Like, so the idea behind the promo tracks is this. You know, my best material ever is coming out. And because of that, I'm just really looking forward to Proof of Life dropping. So it's going to probably come out in January. But in the meantime, you know, I'm at the top of my game. I feel like I'm an Olympian who finally is like in full shape, you know what I mean? And so I don't want to just sit on older music that is at, you know, 75 or, you know, 50% of my full potential. So I have access to a studio right in my home. I do this full time now. I don't have to have a day job I have to go to. So, you know, one day a week I dedicate to writing something catchy and fun and interesting. Doing the creative around it. I usually mix the track myself, although more recently for some of the more ambitious tracks I've been shipping out to Dubox Creative or my man, the Iceman out in Saga, to do the mix on it. But regardless, it's a one-day project to have something fresh and brand new to drop on people every week.
Yeah.
It's content, something to share and talk about. My most recent one was Spaceman, which is so much fun. I really love that track, and it's like totally experimental, and it's over an Iggy Azalea beat, which I would normally never even touch, but it was so much fun with the drops and the come-ups. And then this coming week is HGITW, which stands for Hottest Girl in the World. And I flip it over Snow the Goddess, her new track, which is basically a reflip of TLC's Creep. So it's like, so essentially this Snow the Ice Goddess, whatever the hell her fucking name is, she has a resampled flip of TLC's Creep as a new track that I've been seeing all over social media.
Yeah.
And so I reflipped that again myself for this Hottest Girl in the World track. And it's just a lot of fun. Like, man, it's cool to do every week something brand new. I can try something this, which is totally a track for chicks. But then next week I can, you know, I've got a track coming out with Young Stitch called Red Rum Music, which is essentially describing all the ways I want to murder people, which is so not an Ill Vibe thing to do, but it's a really fun thing to do with Young Stitch, because that's what he's known for, is like scaring you with his shit he's gonna do. And me and Diaz flip a Eclipse instrumental to promote the Pusha show, and he murders it. And so I just spit punchlines. I'm not a punchline MC, but I mean, I've been rapping for 17 years. I can write punchlines.
Oh, yeah.
So it was fun to do a whole track flipping some cool wordplay on some Diaz type tip. And that's, I mean, honestly, as a rapper, who wouldn't want to do that? Work with an MC that's in this niche, and like go there with them and kill it.
Yeah.
And the next week I go over here with this guy, and it's amazing.
Yeah, keep yourself on your toes, kind of, you know, expand the zone and
my writing is so strong because of it, I think.
Yeah.
And also my people know to come back every week, and it works. Like, my numbers go up every week. Like, they just came and checked something they thought was cool. So next week when I do it again, they come and check that.
So some of my best tracks are like people who say, can you do this for like a feature? And like some of my best verses come from that, you know.
You find yourself challenged, and then you go there and you murder it. Yeah,
yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. Some of my best verses aren't on Ill Vibe tracks.
Yeah.
Like, because I think when I'm writing for my own thing, I do so much writing that it starts to wear a little thin. Whereas, you know, if Black Roche, when they hit me up to get on the track with the remix track for Next Level, I loved the original, and so I only had to write 16 bars.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that 16 bars is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in the middle of writing a whole album. I didn't even have to write a whole song. They just gave me a concept, and all we need is 16 awesome lines from you. Yeah. I feel like Frank Thomas. I'm just like, all right. Like, it's like, you just smash the shit out of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's the easiest thing at that point.
Yeah.
And especially now, at a, when I'm at a point to get on, like Dahl is a DJ, asked me to get on a remix of I Am Music.
Nah.
I Am Music is like a tune I already bump.
Yeah,
so when he asked me to get on the remix, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He only needed 8 bars, too. And it's, I killed it. It was just like, wrote it in 5 seconds because it's a beat that I already know in my head because I heard it a million times.
Yeah.
It's the dream of every young rapper is that you're going to get to a spot where people want you on the remixes of tracks you already like.
Yeah. That's the one he won Survival with, right?
I don't know. I can't remember. To be honest, I played so many of those shows, I don't remember what people performed at them.
Yeah. No, I think he did the set and he made the top two and then he did I Am Music for the final.
I'm glad that's what he did. Yeah. If that is what he did, because that's his biggest tune. And I'm such a supporter of when people in our scene have, you know, a hit record, and it's not a hit record on the radio the way that some artists have it, but a song that seems to penetrate in the scene and people know it and are aware of it is so important, and there's not that many of them. You think about, like, you know, Philly Moose has a few, and there's a few artists in the scene who have a track that most of us know, but there's not that many. So it's, Dahl's Zion Music, kind of everybody I know heard the track, so it's really cool that, you know, I think that's such a good thing.
Yeah, it gets around, like, the hip-hop crowds.
Yeah, and the video definitely helps with that, which is why I think I love my spot in the scene, which is I can help a track like I Am Music that had some legs. I helped propel it even further because we made a cool video and that just pushed it out to a whole number of other people.
Attention, people of Earth. We come in peace. So do not take us to your leaders. Because, quite frankly, they're useless as fuck. Take us to your rabbits.
First went to the moon and back. Robot so hot, who missed that? Tune is fat, room is stacked. Heard I got next, so I'm proving that. Gotta run, keep my Pumas packed. Flew in, gotta keep a Judas fat. Food is bad, foolish raps. Classic shit, get stupid class. Luna's leaders, booty smack. Dude is coming from a Luna's track. In a loop, meant to this track. Gotta call Stella, my groove is back. Movie magic, moving Mac. Dude just got the hugest track. Let's go see I super bad. S-O-T-I, who is that? Heavy Ox, wreck and drop. Playing by own rules. Kenny Hots. If they're gonna laugh like I'm Reggie Watts, then I'm gonna bang, 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 extra boss. Living in a box, you living in a car. I ain't living up in outer space, I'm living in a star. If you so far out, never been as far. On the low, get it in like a weapon in a bar. I'm a split, I'm a flip when I ash out. Go all in, win, then I cash out. We don't pussy, a posse, a mash out. And they're gonna build an army, a match out. You a different color slot, never match up. And you only ever walk, never catch up. Like a girl with a and a tassel. And a mind and a body that backs up. I'm a place not near if it's not clear. I was in a rocket coming in the top gear. And I got a little crazy, doesn't stop there. Trying to leave a word just cause I'm not here. Find me in the great beyond. Just pass what you hating on. I keep it vague, I'm a vagabond. Spaceman, vacay, feel the great, come on. Course, plan it right past yours. Hammer at the handle, then I landed at your back door. Spaceman, I'ma stay. Laxing on my holiday. Laxing on this planet, damn it, came a million mile away. I'ma talk like a give and go rock. When I rock, she can dip a low pop. On top, like I'm sipping on scotch. But the party just started like 11 o'clock. Scooping on crop, give us on lock. If you in the kitchen, now listen, don't talk. Get a phone top, like this is gon' drop. Living like a legend and I'm never gon' stop. Why I never follow rules of the matrix? Never bother with the rules of the basics. I just do what I do when I make hits. Pay dues, improving the place with platform for the off on real at. Still a minute trying to feel where the real at. Screw days and the screw face, kill that. I wanna know what I'm done if you feel that.
I'm a spaceman. I'm a spaceman. I'm a spaceman.
it's been said more than once, and more so recently, that if you've got a single that you want people to hear, you need a video for it.
I think it's essential.
Yeah. Do you think it is better to have a bad video or no video if you don't have access to...
I would say you never want a bad anything.
Yeah.
But you can go low budget. So, you know, I did a video for Learning How to Fly, which is a shitty video. It's me sitting on a chair smoking a very big joint. That's the whole video. But it was well shot and well edited. So even though it's, when I say shitty, it's me in a $10 chair smoking a $30 joint. That's a stupid video. But it's well shot, well lit. I did cool color correction on it. So it's not a bad video. Nobody would look at it and be like, he looks so stupid, or it's grainy and poorly lit. It's none of those things.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, it's lo-fi.
It's simple. Yeah. So this is what I always tell people, even on my low-end video budgets. I have this conversation literally 100 times a week. It's, on my low end, your video doesn't get bad. It gets simple.
Yeah.
So it's you walking down this dimly lit street with a spotlight on you. Yeah. So with, you know, you can, anybody can do that. It doesn't need to be a storyline. You have 100 people all wearing shirts with your name on it. That's cool. That's a great video as well. Yeah. But if all you have is $250 or all you have is your camcorder, light it properly, shoot a decent quality, get somebody to help you with the editing or whatever. You don't need to spend a lot of money to get decent quality. You have to get a little bit more resourceful. If you're one of these rappers who's like a, you know, a single dad and you can't afford to spend the money, you need to be a little bit more resourceful to get there. But, you know, if you, that applies to you, look up Ill Vibe Learning How to Fly. It's an example of, it's nothing. It's a $30 video budget. Yeah. And to be honest with you, even like, I have a good camera, but I didn't really use the potential of my camera on that video. Yeah. So I think the average person with a handy cam could probably mimic that video. And it's an example of, if you are an artist who doesn't have a lot of money, you can still create interesting visuals. Or if you're an artist, let's say for example, you're putting out something and you cannot afford a video, you can still do interesting things where it's just like your album cover panning, or you can do something like that, which at least presents you in a professional manner.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's the end result that matters. It doesn't matter what shirt you're wearing in the video or what. It's the end result is, did they see it? Were they able to share it? And were they impressed by it? And anything you can do to add up to those factors, I think, is going to make you look bigger and make your track more shareable.
Yeah.
Which is what it's really about.
Yeah. I got to say, like, one of my favorite videos, speaking of simple, was Mos Def performing on the Chappelle Show. Just them in
nailed
the car.
Nailed it.
Simple beat, and just them in the car, you know?
I tell people this all the time, that dope artists, I mean, we could shoot a crazy good viral video in 15 minutes that could do more for your career than what some of these people will spend 3 weeks trying to come up with a crazy treatment and has a twist at the end. Bro, I'll film you on the TTC, and if you go in and your performance is tight, watch that shit hit 10,000 views. Like, it's budget doesn't equal impact all the time. It can if you're smart about it, but that's a great example. All of those Chappelle performances are a great example of how not a lot of money can be almost more impactful.
Yeah.
That back of that cab was so cool. Some of my best videos, like You Look Better Things to Do, is a black and white video. We shot it in 45 minutes while simply having a round of beers at a patio.
Yeah.
That's the whole video. But because we were giggling and laughing and acting fools and flirting with the girls, and it feels like it. And it's like the chillest thing ever.
Yeah.
It is
clear that there are better things to do.
No, yeah, exactly. No extra money was spent, a round of beers. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think sometimes people, in their hunger and ambitiousness to make big things, they can overlook that something really simple and cool can be amazing.
Palapalooza and Survival of the Illest, those are really successful events this year, or a series of events. Mm-hmm. What's it going to look like for next year?
Well, definitely Hollapalooza is going to come back, at least in Toronto. It's going to be, I think, a centerpiece of some summer hip-hop festivities that I've got in mind. I might partner that up with Survival of the Illest in terms of timing. Have that kind of, you know, be one of the prizes for Survival of the Illest next year will be a spot at Hollapalooza, which would be dope.
Nice.
So essentially what I'm looking at next year is Hollapalooza will be back, hopefully in a big bad way. I'm still looking at who we're going to have play. The thing with Canadian hip-hop is there's not that many people that you would call, like, name-brand rappers in this country. You know what I mean? And I think it's so important, if we're going to celebrate Canadian hip-hop, that we get some of those people in the same place, so that we can be excited that we've got this guy and this guy and this guy in the same building, which is what was so great about last year. The Anti-Heroes and Danny O and Promise and Decisive and Philly Moves all in one building one night. What a great night that was. And I really want to mimic that again. I want every year that to be a thing where, like, we legit celebrate the best Canadian MCs, you know? Yeah. And then Survival of the Illest was one of the most significant and successful things I've ever been a part of, created, whatever the right word is. I met 100 aspiring rappers some of them were incredible. I mean, I met some of the best rappers in the country that could shit all over some of us down in Toronto. And they're in Montreal, Ottawa, London, Barrie, the places you aren't even expecting to find them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of those artists won, and they're coming back for, I think by the time this podcast airs, this will have just happened, but the Survival of the Illest Grand Championships on November 22nd.
Yes.
And it's amazing. Like, we literally, every show was A, profitable. Every show, the artists were communicating that it was one of their favorite shows of the year. I saw young rappers who had never played a show in their city before. The next day on Facebook, they were getting hit up by features from the most famous rappers in their city. Like, literally, it was the turning point in them having a name. They came out, killed Survival of the Illest, and then all the other people they're competing against, which are like the OGs in London or whatever, were like, dude, you're better than us. How do we not know who you are? And then boom, now they're on each other's albums. And like that happened. Definition and Barrie literally is now on the map after Survival of the Illest. And people are getting him on their albums and hitting him up to come out of town for shows. And he's coming out of Toronto and everybody seems to know him. And certainly it's off of his own work, but he springboarded off of the Survival of the Illest win, which is incredible. Doll as a DJ had a serious buzz going for a minute. Capital E said it to me. He's like, is it just me or does Doll as a DJ have a buzz right now? I'm like, he totally does. And it was like off of a series of things. And one of them was that he had won that first Survival of the Illest. So next year I want to expand on that. How can I take that and actually furthermore create stars? Like, so if you win, people are legit talking about you and checking for you. And I think the way that we're going to do that is capture the moment of the win. Because if you were in some of these cities in London, I'm trying to think where that was really, like, there was like, you could drop a pin and there's like 150 people waiting to hear who the finalists are. And it's like, it's so epic. And then the two artists go up and then inevitably one of them tears the roof down and wins. If I could show that moment everywhere, I think people would be captivated, because some of these cities, that winning in Barrie, like that winning moment, like I had goosebumps. Like, it was incredible. And so we're going to have a camera crew with us. We're going to try to capture some of those moments and ultimately build this to be the platform I always dreamed it to be, which is if you win in Barrie, everybody around Ontario is going to be talking about you and checking for you. Like, who's this kid who's the best MC from his city and I've never heard of him before? You should at least maybe check out this or that, you know?
Yeah.
We've got the Survival of the Illest mixtape coming out, which is basically, it's a very selfish project. I handpicked my favorites. Some cases the winners, some cases they're not winners.
Yeah.
But they're the people that I heard them rap and I was just like, how is this dude not famous right now? So it could kill me on the mic, and yet nobody I know knows them.
Yeah.
And so,
well, because they don't have that business
sense. They don't have the business sense, or they're young, or, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there about where you should be spending your time, energy, and money. So I think a lot of these artists fall into those traps of the pay-to-plays and the other stuff, you know. So in this case now, we've got, you know, it's Sha Prince, Young Stitch, K-Mac, who won in London, Definition, Tech Luciano from Montreal. These, all of them should have a record deal. I can't imagine if I don't put exclusive material from all of them on one project that a fuckload of people aren't going to check for that.
Yeah.
Like, all across the province, from, you know, K-Max fans in London to Tex fans in Montreal. And since there's not a single track of filler on there, it's the best this country has to offer. I think it's going to be something really big. And I've really been jaded by mixtapes recently, but the idea occurred to me and I was like, just off the talent alone, it would be such a cool project.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, immediately following the finals, we're going to drop the mixtape at the beginning of December. It's so good. Like, it's really fun to be networking with the best hip-hop minds in Canada.
Mm.
We're all connected right now.
Yeah.
And Survival of the Illest is one of the pieces of that.
There's something to be said for having, like, just material that can't be anywhere else. It's all exclusive.
I think that's the key.
And also, it's all killer, too. Like, I hear a lot of mixtapes, and a lot of them are just sort of like, skip, you know, but
I come from, and this is so not a music business thing, but maybe it is, but I come from, like, my day job before I quit my day job was in project management. I managed the Pepsi Taste Challenge and the Mazda Music Tour, and so I learned early on that how you manage a project can change everything about the outcome of that project.
Yeah.
So how I manage the production of an album may be more important than how good a rapper I am.
Mm.
You know what I mean? When it comes down to who you're networking with and who you're, so when I put together this mixtape, I'm putting it together different than other mixtape people.
Yeah.
I'm literally going, as if I was a business person, this is no zero tolerance. If your track's not good, it doesn't go on.
Yeah.
And if you're not amazing, you don't go on. It's not about a friend or politics. I posted a status and a bunch of people who are really dope MCs hit me up.
Yeah.
They just didn't fit my vision of what I thought this mixtape was going to be about.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the ball was already rolling on the mixtape. But this is not a labor of love. This is a labor of progress. You know what I mean? Like, certainly there's my love for hip-hop in there.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it from an angle of, if I have a zero tolerance kind of approach, like a bit of a dick, it's going to be an incredible mixtape. You know what I mean? Which is what I'm trying to be. One of my favorite people is Dame Dash, because Dame Dash loves hip hop and is so good for hip hop over the years. And I would watch him in these behind the scenes documentaries and clips and shit, and he was such a dick. But he was a dick because he had a high standard for things.
Yeah.
If anybody out there thinks I'm a dick, and there are people who do, it's because I have this really, I really want things to be huge.
Yeah.
I don't want to do little tours where people kind of hear about it. It's not, I want to do tours where in Vancouver they're like, how the fuck do we get Survival of the Illest out here? Mm-hmm. That's where my head is at. Yeah. And if we're going to do a mixtape, I want people to demand the next one. I don't want it to be, yeah, some people kind of checked it, and so I'm sorry if you send me something that's not great. I'm going to reply, that's not great. You know what I mean? Yeah. And if you're mad at me, so be it.
Yeah.
But it's for the better. You know, somebody has to be that person who's never going to turn a cheek to if it's not great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't take it personally. Just step it up
and
the next one.
And there will be people who always are great, and there will be people who have trouble always being great, in my opinion. This obviously always comes from my opinion. Yeah. But I think too many people, when they build projects, tours, book shows, mixtapes, politics and friendships get in the way, and you see a little bit of the quality shift from where it could be. Yeah. You think about like the Apollo. There's no friendships or politics. If you're not good, you don't fucks with it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And honestly, I try to put everything on that Apollo standard when I'm doing anything.
The best and the worst audience in the world. They're ruthless.
And they're about to separate you. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no hard feelings. You just didn't make them laugh. Period. Try again next time.
Yeah.
You know? And that's and they're not
piss off the ladies.
They don't hate you. They have no ill will against you. They don't want you to go have a bad life now.
Yeah.
You just didn't make them laugh. The entertainment business has to have a watermark.
Mm.
Where it's like, you didn't make me flip out. It's a good track. I didn't flip out.
Yeah.
Send me another one. If I flip out, we'll put it on a mixtape. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's important.
Only real music's gonna last. All that other bullshit is here today and gone tomorrow.
And you keep so many friends around and hold me back. Only if you and my crew, you're just a lonely task. And can't be seen me throwing the pass. And ran with it, all love, cause we want to last. My man naps up in his goldie mask. Stay reflecting all these haters in my zone, in fact. My homie got rocks, talk, told me don't react. You too big for the beef, homie, go relax. See, I'm just trying to hit my Russell Simmons. Hustle isn't matched by anybody fucking with him. I'm here to stay, got my feet up, adjust your living. I don't like you, but you hate me, and that's fucking different. I told Danny, oh, they talking when you buzzing like. If you ain't madder, then the chitter chatter's nothing tight. Best yet, diss records, cause I love my life. The death threat shit, must be doing something right. My dude Mike told me gut check. Time for my legacy, the Lego on an upstep. I hit an L, but never upset. Just get more psych to win, must get. I try to have a blast like a musket. And Cliff Road got my back, dude, trust, yes. I focus on my path, moving, fuck stress. Not trying to end up like usual suspect. Guys, so eyes are low, but I'm looking at the sky like how high is it go. My man Kush on cloud nine and he flies a flow. Definition of a soul, so I signed him bold. But now I think my army's surround. Got my flag in the air, hope they follow me down. These haters with some color, I'ma blaze them out. Got a brush full of love, we gon' paint the town. You only name us till you win. Then you living off a dream and you famous for your pen. Dudes acting like I own something straight. But I ain't never met you, I'm just growing something great. And no sign told me chase that. Life like soda water, hold it and embrace that. I'ma fly, no wings with Miss Lace at. All the hatred we throw and misplace that. I'm just trying to be a champion ASAP. Rocky, no one stop me, leave your face fat. Fat lip, far side, where my place at? Spaced out, Mac vibes, and we laid back. Word to J-Mac, sitting on a rain stack. I'ma take it back on the low, word to K-Mac. Treetop, and we rolling for some payback. S-O-T-I, needle in the haystack.
Everything around me, freeze.
I'm just trying to build a ladder we can climb. I'm the first to climb it, don't be mad cause it was mine. I put on for my people, all believe. Sometimes doors so tight, a dude can hardly breathe. I think
hope they follow me down. Color blaze them out. Got a brush full of love, I'ma paint the town.
Still doing this, but like the sort of the posse tracks, like
yeah,
like
they kind of died, eh?
Well, like Roll with the Flavor, or that one that Busta Rhymes had on The Coming. It was like 11 minutes long, had the whole flip mode on.
Yeah, I remember the tune exactly. Personally, I always find those tracks more exciting before you hear them than when it's actually on. I mean, like you're like, yeah. Well, all these people are gonna be on one song. Oh, that's gonna be incredible. Yeah. And it's not that incredible.
Goes on too long.
Some verses are better than others.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly.
I remember the first time seeing the Roll with the Flavor video, and I was just blown away.
You're like, not wrong. Just,
because all those, you know, your favorite MCs right there.
I tell you, one thing that I have been trying to do, and this is something that has not come to fruition over the years, is a modern day Northern Touch type of vibe where you've got three or four, like, killer MCs who don't have any, like, necessarily, like, strong connections outside of that record, but you have them all get on one big record. I think that'd be a lot of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, see, it's funny because that's totally what, like, me, Nucky, and Tragic were trying to do. But then we all like each other so much, now we're going to do the whole album. So it kind of evolves into other shit anyways. Yeah, first weekend of December, we're all going away into middle of nowhere, Ontario for 2.5 days. And we're going to bang out the rest of this EP. And we got a bunch written. We're just going to finish the writing and recording. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be awesome.
And what are you calling yourselves for this
project? Waiting for Dorothy on some Wizard of Oz shit.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if I can get this straight.
You're trying to place it now?
Yeah, no. I'm trying to go with who's what here.
Yeah, let's see.
Tragic, I could be the lion.
Tragic would have to be the lion.
Yeah. I'm guessing Nucky Scarecrow, Ill Vibe Tin Man.
I'll be the Tin Man.
Yeah.
And I definitely need a heart, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't know if we've actually announced the name, and I'm happy to have it out there. It's not been private. We've been putting like hashtag W4D, just keeping things like kind of mysterious. I think partly because until the project had any real legs under it, you don't want to over-promote when you haven't even recorded your first record yet, you know what I mean? So we've been building a little bit of excitement that we've even been doing it. And the beat we did a Godfather beat contest, and the beats were amazing. Like, we have like five, I think we have six producers, including yourself, who submitted beats. And honestly, when Tragic and I started, I was like, we'll find one in there that we like. Like, that was like, first, he's like, what if we don't get one we like? I'm like, it's this sample. We'll find at least one that we like.
Yeah.
And honestly, they're all ridiculous.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's just going to come down to all of us smoke a joint, listen to them, and be like, which one do you want to rap to the most?
Because
they're all really dope. So it's, you know, some of them have a little bit more of a kick to them. Some of them are a little bit more melodic.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to flip on the most, you know? And I think that's probably how that will end up going.
Yeah. I did mine, and then I listened to another one, and it made me realize just the breadth of possibility.
They're all kept within a realm because the sample is so strong, but definitely people approach them from different angles, and you can hear people's little signature sound in there. Raindrop, Wills, Rin D from down in Chicago sent a submission.
Nice.
Can't remember everybody, if I'm being honest. I think Goulds did one. We got a bunch in, so it's cool. There's so many dope producers in the social media network right now.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, a click away when I'll be talking about a project, or I'll just share like a link to an old 60s record I heard in a movie or something, and then I get two people send me a flip of it. It's like, wow, that's so powerful. Yeah. I was just thinking how this would be a great beat, and then boom, Abstract hits me one, and boom, JL sends me one over, and it's like, oh shit, like, God bless Facebook. Some people hate on Facebook, but the combination of Facebook and hip-hop changed my life, and I'm the happiest man in the world because of the way that those two things intersect in just such a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, my whole life exists in the world where hip-hop and Facebook intersect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you were talking about Reverb Nation. I've kind of lost interest in it myself.
Me too.
Like, I don't know. I'm all about, like, Bandcamp.
Yeah, I find that too.
A little bit SoundCloud.
I find that too, actually.
Yeah. Like, I just
pretty much agree with you on all three of those.
Reverb Nation is, I don't know, it's just becoming too much like MySpace became.
What I find is that there's so many of those websites now that they become watered down in their own right. So, you know, when I have a new song, I post it on my Reverb and my SoundCloud. I mean, not every song, but like a big new record. But then I don't ever go look again. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how many people click on my reverb.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
I do like when people listen to it, so I put it in all those places. But I have no idea how many people click it. My Bandcamp is like my music store where I distribute my music as a central location. Yeah. So I keep a pretty close eye on listens and downloads from there.
Yeah.
But there's just, it's impossible to have so many. And I have to imagine at some point someone's going to get it just right and become the Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? Mm. Because right now there hasn't really been that. I guess SoundCloud is probably the best in terms of branding and people talking and loving SoundCloud. Like, people really love SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Especially in the EDM world and the producer world.
Yeah.
But I think for bands and artists, it's still a little bit touch and go. Bands and artists, it's not perfect for an artist to release. There's no one website that's really nailed for you to release a single and make money off of it.
Yeah.
I think Bandcamp's done the best for me anyways. But still, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the way that they handle their free downloads and get to buy more credits is interesting. And so I think that's why it hasn't exploded. A lot of artists don't really love it. Like, yeah. Nova Lee Rockefeller, that female MC, on Facebook, I was having a talk to her about this very conversation on social media once, and her argument with Bandcamp was, once you make it mildly famous, it doesn't work anymore. Because those free downloads go like this.
Yeah.
So it's great when you have no buzz at all.
Yeah.
But as soon as you have a buzz, it doesn't work, which is kind of counterproductive.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're trying to build this buzz, and when you get a buzz, you gotta have a whole new website now.
Yeah.
Because or you gotta pay Bandcamp to do what they used to do for free. Yeah. So it's that's a really good point.
Maybe you just need, like, to have your own domain and your own store built into it.
I think that's the perfect system.
Yeah.
That's where my head's at, is I wanna essentially recreate a Bandcamp. Yeah. Through my own website, and JL Prophet, who's my web guy, soon will be building me this website.
Yeah.
We just finished updating the Ovibe Studios video website. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So now we're going to update mine included. I want to essentially have a Bandcamp store built in. I think that's the way to go, is I like the technology as it exists, but Nova made a really great point on, you know, you don't want to get to a spot where suddenly your free downloads expire in a minute. And it's interesting because it happens quickly where you transition from nobody listening to you.
Yeah.
To, I went from nobody listening to me to a lot of people listening to me in 1 year. It's like, yeah, that's pretty much how my numbers. And then you look at, you know, some other people, and I would put Philly Moves, Nova Lee. I'd put, trying to think, like, who's on that next level of some of these, even some of, like, these more like horrorcore, like Molly Gruesome. They get, like, straight up, like, 1,000 people check their shit in the first day.
Yeah.
Bandcamp dies at that point. So yeah. I think it's interesting that we're all, like, one step away from our current website not being enough for us.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting
point. Yeah.
That's an interesting spot to be in. So I think that there's definitely an opportunity there. So for me personally, I'm going to solve that just by having my own fully functioning website that I don't need to rely on anybody.
You don't have to embed
one click downloads. You don't gotta have ads here from, like, I'm not getting paid by Sprint. I don't want some Sprint ad on my Bandcamp. You know what I mean? So
yeah
I think it's these days, and I'm sure I would have said this last time, I think probably the single most important thing for an aspiring rapper to be and learn, other than the actual craft itself, obviously, is how to run a successful online business.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I run an online business. Yeah. I sell music videos and features and show bookings. But essentially, I could replace those things with some girl's business. She does nails and hair. But it's the same thing otherwise. You need to know how do you reach the most people to let them know that service exists, mm-hmm. generate interest, and then when they come in to buy it, you know, I need to know how to sell them and treat them like good customers so they come back and spend it again. That's why I'm good at running a music business, because my music is good, but I'm also great at running a business. And I think a lot of people don't know how to do that. They have a Twitter account, but they don't know why they have a Twitter account. They have these Instagram, but they don't know, have put zero thought into how they could benefit, maybe make money off of that Instagram account.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's not like there's $1 million sitting at your fingertips,
yeah.
But the idea is that if you strategize and run this the way that, like, you know, a clothing line would run it, or anybody else that has a website would run it, I think you'll find most MCs aren't really approaching it from that perspective. Like, how do I make money at my craft? They're frustrated. They want money, but they're not trying to really make it. They're not running it like a business.
Yeah, they don't know where to put their efforts.
They're doing what they do, and they make music.
Yeah.
And they send it out to the people. I don't think at any point there they're thinking about where the money comes from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they just assume that at some point money will come.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at, like, how a clothing line would approach this, they'd be like, well, we need to reach 100,000 people for 10,000 of them to click our link.
Yeah.
And of those 10,000 people, 1,000 might buy something. And so that's how a business would decide how much money they're going to make based on promotion. And MCs don't think like that.
Yeah.
And I think like that, you know?
Well, a lot are still stuck in the major label mentality, you know? It's like, just keep doing your thing. Eventually, the right person will hear it.
Yeah.
You know, and give
that right person, I walk by their office, it's empty. The door is locked. There's nobody in that office. They've downsized. That guy who used to do that does not work there anymore, you know?
That's right. By the time the major labels come to you, you don't need them anymore.
No, that's it. The reality behind major labels is essentially they're banks now. They're banks with connections.
Yeah.
They will finance you when you no longer need financing, and give you connections when you already are growing as a brand. And that's not even, I'm not even saying that with that chip on my shoulder that most people would say it with. Yeah. They're just, what they're waiting for, they're waiting to see who can make money on their own.
Yeah.
And now they're going to infuse you with money to see how much money you can really make.
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah,
that's the reality of the business
that's
today.
True. If you're tired of being merely large and you want to go on to being huge.
Yeah, that's where legendary. They come in. That's where they come in.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you can sell, you know, a few thousand copies of your disc and you got 10,000 followers on your Twitter and your YouTube videos are popping, your phone will ring. But until then, your phone will not ring and it won't be based on talent. You have to have talent also. But you have to have talent and a fully functioning business
yeah.
before they invest.
Yeah.
So if you're an 18-year-old rapper, you should literally be taking how to run an online business courses.
Mm.
It will bore the fuck out of you, but it will change how you make money on music. You'll make those iTunes checks will be bigger. Your YouTube views will be bigger. You'll know who to network with and why and how. It won't just be this blind blasting out of, look at me, look at me, look at me, because that doesn't really work.
Got to be strategic.
Strategic. Obviously, I talk the most on Facebook. So there is about talking, there is about something to say about volume. But I don't just say nothing. I don't talk about eating spaghetti and meatballs for dinner.
Yeah.
I have taken a spot in the sand, I drew an X, and this is my fucking spot in the sand. And whether that's, you know, being mad at Freddie Fame or whether that's whatever the other case, whatever that happens to involve, you know, going after these pay-to-play people, that's what it is. And sometimes it goes negative and sometimes it's positive, but that's my strategy is I've drawn this X in the sand, and when people talk about the sand, they'll be like, well, that's Ill Vibe spot. They know where I stand. I stand there publicly, you know, for better or worse. I bump into some of those promoters in person, and I have to deal with that mark of the sand because they know that I'm that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I own it in the real world all the time. Yeah. I went to a pay-to-play show recently, and the guy looked at me, and there was no questioning that he knew who I was and what my opinion of his business was. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's important. That identity is why people know who I am. They always say, like, oh, dude, you do that pay-to-play shit. Ever since you've been talking, like, it's an identity that I've created. I think that's what social media can be used for. Yeah, I think you can do that well, even just like with the quirkiness and approaching it with like the dude tracks. You're really painting a picture about who you are.
Yeah, that's
you
yeah,
know
that's kind of
you're making a statement that I'm off the beaten path a little bit. I'm gonna do things a little bit differently than this other MC's gonna do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think all those decisions and how you approach social media is such a major part of that.
Yeah, well, part of that too is like just kind of trying to kind of be more relaxed about life in general,
yeah.
you know? Not be so uptight, not get so stressed, you know, like...
All of us artists are people as well.
Yeah.
So as we become better artists and more comfortable in our skin as artists, we could become more comfortable in our skin as men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I'm a better rapper this year than I was last year, partly because I'm a better man this year than I was last year. You know what I mean? Like, I know myself better, I know life a little better, I know how to express myself better, the way that anybody in any business would. I think naturally, I think we all find ourselves just getting closer to the center. You know, like finding who we are, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm a better rapper than I was last year, too.
You are 100% a better rapper and a better performer, too.
Yeah, that's another thing. You got to do it to learn it, you know? Like, I still don't perform nearly enough.
Certainly, I think performing is one of those areas where there's no replacing practice in that one.
Yeah, you got to find that balance too, because you got to find, you know, which venues are the places.
And you don't want to rap everywhere. No,
yeah,
exactly.
Like, so you don't want to be like 3 months dry and then open for Pusha T. Speaking of which, you are opening for Pusha T.
November 29th.
Yeah.
Shout out Admiral Entertainment. I want to send a special shout out because they are not doing any fucking pay to play on this show. Which all shows of this size are always pay to play. So big shout out to Paul Fairley and the guys over at Admiral. Myself and Diaz and Urban Havoc are opening for Pusha. And the Pusha album is literally the one that I'm listening to the most often right now.
Yeah.
So it's very rare as a rapper that you get to rock a show with the person you're listening to the album. You know, in that moment. Like,
yeah.
When I opened for Busta, I hadn't listened to him in a few years at that point. You know, I hadn't had nothing fresh in him in a minute. Still super excited.
Yeah.
But there's something special about, like, I'm bumping Pusha right now. My phone rings. You want to play with Pusha T? I'm, like, looking at my iTunes, like, what?
Hell yeah.
I just hit pause on Pusha to take this phone call. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm so excited about that show. And that's at the Sound Empire in Barrie, one of the best music venues in Southern Ontario. Like,
yeah.
It's like it rivals, you know, Phoenix or the Opera House, but maybe even nicer because it's been a little bit more recently renovated, and I really like it, so I'm really excited about that show.
Nice, nice.
Those are the shows you honestly spend your whole life waiting for. To rock a 40-foot stage You know what I mean? Yeah. With perfect sound and a packed house for one of your favorite rappers. This is literally what the fuck I wait for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a tricky business because I didn't open for a big name for quite a while. Mostly because of the pay-to-play that I hate so much that kind of changed the whole business, you know? Mm. Presuming we go back to a regular system, it's artists like yourself that once upon a time would have been booked. You know, some of these shows coming up, right? Like there's like the Pete Rock and CL Smooth. If it was my show, it would be people like you that would open. It would make perfect sense to open for a show like that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of artist that the people who come to see Pete Rock and CL Smooth would want to see.
Yeah, you because know, when I was becoming an artist, that's the shit I was listening to. Yeah.
And listen, let me say openly, because if you are opening for the show, I do not know who the openers are. I have no idea, so I'm not speaking about anybody. I literally don't know who's opening for the show. But I will predict, based on the promoter, that it's pay-to-play and that it's artists based on, you know, nothing in particular to do with their sound. Because they don't tend to put artists based on, like, they sound similar. So you're going to have, you know, five randomly selected rappers from the GTA opening for Pete Rock and CL Smooth. When what you could have is you and, like, Simply Put, who spits old school shit, and Spenny from up in Barrie, who spits old cool shit. And all of a sudden, you have an incredible show. If my power ever wields slightly in the direction of being able to take over some of those shows, it's going to change things. Because I think that's how you book real good hip-hop shows. You know what I mean? And for Pusha T, and I'm opening, so I'm excited. But there's some artists in Toronto who remind me of Pusha. That's who you would book with a Pusha on that tour. You know what I mean? You put the guy on, Wale was here, and Capital E was going to open for him. Perfect fit. Wale is Capital E's favorite rapper.
Yeah.
They rap on that fly shit, but still lyrical shit. Perfect. If you nail those, that's what hip-hop shows are made of, you know?
Yeah. It's important to distinguish, too, I think, between, like, pay-to-play versus something that could be mistaken for a pay-to-play, you know, where the promoter, you know, does expect you to sell tickets, but, you know, you're not going to go out of pocket if you don't come
up. It's so key, and this is the thing, and if a promoter's listening to this or somebody who knows a promoter, I don't attack promoters. Promoters make this business go round. I love promoters. Yeah. Like, I'll babysit Paul Farrelly's children if you'd like. He's a great promoter, but the distinction that I have is in events where the strong majority of the artists are paying out of pocket to make the show happen.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that artists selling tickets. I don't mind that artists have to bust their ass to make the show possible. I don't mind anything in that area from white to black. That's a whole gray area. Yeah. You cross one line, I have a problem with. Mm. And that is the majority of the artists cannot sell enough tickets to make your minimum, which means the headliner should not have been booked for that city. Maybe the headline's too big for that city, too big for that market. The show wasn't given enough time. The tickets weren't given. Whatever the situation was, if the majority of artists couldn't sell their tickets, this means the promoter fucked up. Mm. If it's one or two, you didn't do your job, son. Go to work. The way that you get around this is you don't do minimums, because ticket minimums ask for out-of-pocket. It's what the fuck happens. And there's people like Trash Gordon, who argues a million times. I like him, by the way. This is not beef. Who that he makes money on those shows because he has a strong fan base. He sells tickets to every show. He sells more than the minimum because he makes so much dough at those shows.
Yeah.
That is the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
The rule is these people who end up selling half, eating the other half, and going, well, I want to open for Swollen Member, so I'll eat the $400. Mm. That's ridiculous. Then they shouldn't be booked, or you overpaid for the show, or whatever. But there's a problem, because you don't need to do that to make money. I've seen a million shows, and I really hope this Pusha show is a sellout, because it will make my point. The show is not pay to play. Yeah. We're all helping push tickets, by the way. This is not like a situation where we're all sitting back like celebrities. We're all helping push tickets. And tickets are only $29. They didn't do the ridiculous $65 to see Waka Flocka. And I think they're going to sell out, or at least get busy as shit. And why? Because the whole thing was branded properly. It was quite clearly not a pay-to-play from the minute they announced it, with two openers and then eventually a third opener. All the openers have earned their spot. They all have a buzz. From the beginning, it's like, this isn't like a Live Nation type show. You know it's going to be pro from beginning to end, and everybody I know is excited about it, and tickets started selling. Almost sold out of early bird tickets already, because it doesn't feel like some, like, pyramid scheme-y, you know what I mean? Like, it automatically changes the whole tone of your show.
Yeah.
When Most Def came around and it was pay-to-play, and it was, like, $55 a ticket, everybody I know, this is all I heard about the tour, it's fucking 10 openers, $55 a ticket. The business behind the whole show stunk. And again, I don't even know who threw that to Sergio. I'm just speaking openly. I'm on my Kanye right now. I'm not even thinking about who I'm talking about. But the business behind that tour stinks then. Because that's way too much money to see Mos Def. That's way too many openers. You've obviously fucked the dog on this whole situation. So it's like, I think it's so important to have good business so that we can all profit and move forward. Like, I'm not attacking promoters. I want those promoters to make money.
Yeah.
I want these shows to be great. It can even be the same promoters. I even pitched a theory to one of these exact promoters saying, why don't you just try this? Book 6 acts instead of 10. Have them be the ones with the biggest buzz. So here in Toronto, it's like Church Chisel. It's fucking Nucky Grissom. It's these people that are down in Miami killing it with a buzz right now. Book them on the show and watch the tickets fly out the door. And then watch people come to your show early because they want to see those acts, buy more drinks, the venue makes more money, you sell more merch, the whole show pops off better, and you make more money in the long run. Why? Because you booked the right people. And I haven't heard. Hopefully that sunk in. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it bounced right off their head. I don't know. I openly challenge that to any promoter to try that. If you're going to bring Talib Kweli to town, try it. Put the 6 most lyrical rappers in Toronto on that show, whether it's ES, whether it's fucking... I'm going to leave names out. You know what I mean? These fucking dope Toronto MCs. And watch that show sell out. And, I mean, still ask, make those artists accountable to sell tickets because they should help you. Just don't contract them to be in a situation where they're forced to pay out of pocket with your 50 or 60 ticket minimum. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my rant. Everybody knows me on my anti-pay-to-play shit. That's sort of straight from the fucking boys.
Yeah.
I guess the only other thing I'll say just really, really briefly is there's a lot of support from the scene on my Independent Canadian Hip Hop Awards.
Right.
Really what it is an idea right now, but as was the videos and Survival of the Illest at one point, so this is the next thing. So although it seems quiet, if anybody has been heard that or is following along, because quite a few people have asked me, where do we stand on that? Is that going to happen? Are you going to push forward? I take that very seriously, this notion. I don't approach it lightly. So if we're going to do this, I want to do this with the magnitude that it deserves. Mm. So this is going to be something that I'll be working on over the next 3 or 4 months behind the scenes with people that I know from the events and marketing business, people from the hip-hop business, some core people, some people that are important in the scene. I want to have their 2 cents involved. But it is progressing. We're designing the mechanic that will make it work. So many people challenged us that the wrong people would be selected. And so I really want to see if we can create a mechanic that the right people would be selected ultimately, and that'll be as fair as possible, but still the right people are coming up at the top. You know, so the dude who really did have the best mixtape this year should be nominated, not just some kid from high school, that kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, this might take me into the summer. I'm not in a rush scheme on this. It's a matter of doing it properly, because when I roll out, I'm gonna ask everybody in Canadian hip hop to support, vote for the people they think, be involved, be a contributing member, the way that baseball all votes on the All-Star game. Every player in baseball votes. Yeah. I want every rapper in Canada to vote. I don't mean 80 or 90%. Every rapper in Canada should vote.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we know that we're taking control of the scene ourselves. We are 100% unified on an idea that the best artists in this country deserve a fucking trophy. And that's all I'll say for now. But it is in the works, and people like you are going to be so key to rolling it out when it's time.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely, I'll be in touch with everybody. IllVibeMusic.com.
Chewy.
I'm easy to fucking find.
Yeah. IllVibeMusic.com.
I fucking love y'all.
At IllVibeMusic.
That's me.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by.
I love you, Duke Buzzy. Thanks for doing it, man.
Thanks again to IllVibe for the time and the tracks, and respect to Kincaid and Audio Crack.
For consideration as a featured artist on Between Bars, drop me a track and a bio at buzzy.bars@gmail.com, spelled like it sounds. To submit a track for rotation, same drill. You can also hit me up on Twitter at RealDukeBuzzy, all one word, all spelled correctly.
If you're hearing this because you subscribe to Roundtable Radio on iTunes, congratulations on your wisdom. If not, get on that now to catch the other half of my interview with IllVibe, as well as music from and interviews with Canada's best independent artists. Not just Between Bars, but be sure to check out Jules and B Sharp with RTR co-founder Mr. Miniker, Sounds of the Underground with guitar correspondent Matt Groupie, and read up on albums and shows with Gid Greenbaum Schinder. As for my show, come back in 2 weeks for more great music and another surprise guest. Till then, this is Duke Buzzy saying,
talking shit is one of the most time-honored traditions of this culture. Best to keep it locked in tracks and battles, though. No matter how important you might be or how far removed from the big players you think you are, you make yourself look unprofessional and small when you shit-talk people behind their backs. And this is an increasingly tight-knit culture. It will get back to them. Remember, shit might float, but it can sink your career.
Thanks again for listening. Now pull your damn pants up.